galaxy far, far away. This is the Georgiou Cast, episode 3 for episode 1, because there's no way that Star Wars is confusing. Welcome to the cast for Star Wars episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Joining me this week, we have Tony.
I'm a dude, he's a dude, she's a dude, because we're all dudes, yeah!
You should have said Misa dude. She's a dude.
I don't know why. You guys remember that, right? That
oh, yeah. Good Burger.
Good Burger.
Of course.
I don't know why it's in my head.
The days.
I'm sure you probably just want something to get to rinse the move, the thought of this movie out of your head. But we'll catch that in a second. And we are also joined by Scott.
I'm a person, and my name is Anakin.
Oh, God.
You're welcome.
Here's a question. Which movie is better, Good Burger or The Phantom Menace?
Whoa. It's quite a comparison, but probably going to have to go with Empire Strikes Back.
Wait, what? That wasn't an option.
It's always an option.
Only sits still in absolutes. Which is about the dumbest thing anyone could say. Because that statement is an absolute. Therefore, you are a Sith. Therefore, all is irrelevant.
Well, I could argue all day that the Jedi are pretty evil, and I would, but now is not the time for that. But just try it.
Okay, well.
Okay.
How do you guys want to start this podcast?
Well, let's start, I guess, at the beginning, I was thinking.
Kind of like how this movie starts at the beginning.
You know.
All movies start at the beginning.
No, I mean like
with
this
the
is the first.
Federation.
This movie is the first chronologically. That's what I mean. It starts at the beginning. This is the.
Well, actually, let's start from the end of the previous movie. And why you picked The Phantom Menace to go after Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yes.
We did mention. We did mention it in the first episode, but just to kind of catch up, we are going A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Phantom Menace, and then next week, The Clone Wars, and Revenge of the Sith. And the reason for that is we figured with the revelation of Darth Vader being Luke Skywalker's father, then
spoilers.
We'd go... for an episode we did last week. We'd go back...
Reverse spoilers.
We'd go back and examine what happened to Anakin Skywalker to turn him evil.
Yes, and as Huey Lewis would say, we gotta go back in time.
My working theory is he had to watch this movie.
Yes,
show.
It broke him.
It broke him. But yes, going back to... Okay, I want one of you, or both of you, to summarize what the hell happened in this movie.
Oh, that's easy. So there was the Trade Federation, and they had a blockade because reasons.
Yeah,
that
reasons,
they didn't really
true.
Say. Did they say?
I mentioned before that one of the reasons that A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back worked is that they throw you in the middle of this war and you're just playing catch up. Here. This movie assumes you're playing catch-up, but it doesn't really tell you what you're playing catch-up to.
Right. So here's one of the things. Episodes 4 and 5 that we've reviewed so far, if you look at the scroll, the opening scroll of those movies, it's literally a couple of sentences. Like, you know, it's like, our heroes are here, and they're running away from these people, and here we go. That's episode 4. And then episode 5 is like, okay, the Death Star was destroyed, and now this is going on, and here we go. And this movie, if you read the opening scroll, it's like, I don't know if you ever read, like, legal documentation, but it's incredibly boring to read. Where it's like, you know, the defendant herein addresses the plaintiff as, and it's like, that's basically what the opening scroll for episode 1 is. It's like, the Trade Federation has created a blockade against the whatever because of, it's way too long and...
Mm-hmm.
It's just boring. Like, right from the jump, it's like, hey, this is going to be boring. Here we go.
I was about to say that pretty much sums up my feeling with the movie. I don't necessarily think it's bad. I just think it's really boring. And I think because the conflict is whatever it is. Okay, jumping ahead a bit. one of the biggest problems with this movie for me is that the core conflict takes a back seat for like 40 minutes in the middle of the movie. So they could do the whole Tatooine thing with Anakin.
Right.
And like, they finished the pod racing and they went back to the ship. I'm like, oh, right, there's a movie going on here, too. Because I completely forgot that whole, I was going to say subplot, but it's the actual plot of the movie existed because they were doing that whole other thing. And like, everybody already took a break for like a month.
Right.
Yeah. It's like they realized that, oh yeah, there actually is a plot to this movie, we swear. It wasn't just to get this, just to find this kid and, I don't know, do stuff. Like, you know, like the planet's under attack. The Trade Federation has occupied their planet and they're just like, you know, poppycocking around on Tatooine.
Yeah. That was, okay, and I will be honest, I will say this much. I've seen this movie twice, both times drinking, last time really drunk.
That's a wise choice.
So some of this may have been explained in the movie, and I just missed it. But the movie starts with the Trade Federation trying to kill, what,
Qui-Gon Jinn.
There we go.
Are you serious? You couldn't pronounce? How drunk were you?
I was really
drunk. Are you drunk right now?
Okay,
sounded drunk in the movie.
Okay,
they're trying to kill Liam Neeson. And
let me tell you what the
they
rule
kidnapped
was
his daughter.
Tell me how drunk you think I got? I drank any time Jar Jar said Misa.
Oh Jesus Christ!
And any time somebody said Annie.
How are you alive?
So by the pod racing scene, I was pretty much just watching the movie on autopilot. So
right.
I can pretty much that and I was checked out mentally anyhow.
Hey, here's a question. Which character was more racist? Jar Jar or those like Asian Trade Federation dudes?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm gonna have to go with
it was uncomfortable watching that. I was like, ooh, yeah, that's a really stereotypical accent you got there, buddy. Both of
them. Yeah. I don't know. They were both pretty bad. And
yeah.
I don't know how to rate them on the badness scale, so I'm just gonna ignore them.
Well, did you know there is a cut of this film that you can watch on YouTube that is called like the no fill cut or something like that. I forget what it's called, but it cuts out a bunch of like just boring garbage that happens in the movie, which like it takes out like 30 minutes from the movie, and it changes some of the voices. So like the Trade Federation guys, they don't sound like stereotypical Asians. They have like alien voices, like deep alien voices, and then they're just subtitled.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it makes the movie much, much more watchable.
Okay, and well, going back to the beginning of my question.
Oh yeah,
because like, the Jedi are there on a diplomatic mission. They're going to kind of talk about some type of treaty,
right?
And
yeah,
and
yes.
The first thing they do is they kill them. So I'm like,
right.
What was the point? What was like, you're not even pretending to be diplomatic about this. Your first order is to kill them.
No, what they did was, okay, so the Jedi were sent to kind of break up the whole thing, and because, you know, they put a blockade on the planet, and so they were sent to kind of like negotiate a ceasefire, or not a ceasefire, but like a, you know, they're trying to break up the whole thing. And so the guys are going to kill them, and then they then try to play dumb and be like, oh, no, we didn't get any ambassadors here. Like, no one showed up, you know, that whole trick, which obviously didn't work. But, yeah, no, they weren't just going to be like, yeah, they came here and we killed them. No, they were just going to pretend like they weren't there at all.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
And they only killed them because they found out
they
were
to.
Jedi.
They
tried to kill them because they found out they were Jedi and thought that the Republic was going to try to strong arm them. And so
yeah,
they contacted Darth Sidious, who was like, yeah, just kill them, whatever.
Of course, and then they like pump poison gas into the room, and then like a couple minutes later open the door. It's like, whoa, leave the door closed. Let them, you know, why do we need to open this door to let them out?
Let's explain how they survived.
I guess Jedis can hold their breath very long.
Well, also, if we flash forward, get some information, we shouldn't have to get information from later in the movie to understand this, but they also had those rebreathers that they used in the scene when they follow Jar Jar in the water.
I thought Jar Jar gave it to them.
I thought that they pulled it out of their
coats. Yeah, okay. But I don't think that would have worked at the poison gas. Well, I don't think they intended to use that in the poison gas scene because, like, right before the scene cuts, they take, like, deep breaths, and then when the door's opened again later on, you don't see any rebreathers or anything like that. So I think it's to be assumed that they just held their breath the whole time. So,
which I guess, you know, that's not the craziest thing a Jedi's been seen to do.
No. Well, later on in that same scene, they do that weird, like, super fast sprint where they shoot.
Which
totally would have come in handy at the end of the film. It's like, if you know what I'm talking about. It's like, why doesn't he just use his super speed right now? I don't understand. Why are you going to introduce an element and then completely go against it at the end of the same film?
Honestly, and we'll talk about this more with 2 and 3, I honestly feel like this is what that movie was. They introduced a bunch of stuff that they probably thought were cool that they never revisit in the other two films. Like,
right.
Jar Jar pretty much becomes not even a side character. He just has cameos in the other two, really.
Yeah, well, in the edit that I was talking about, like, they almost completely remove Jar Jar. Like, his entire existence in this film is completely unnecessary. Like, you can almost completely remove him, and the film works just fine.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that could be said about the entire film. Like, I mentioned this before when I was getting suggestions for the order to go in. A lot of people said just skip one, because there isn't a ton that you need to know from this movie.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't. Like after you watch four and five, like, you pretty much know everything you need to know going into two. Like, I think you've kind of mentioned that before, too. Like, in four, you know, Obi-Wan tells you that, you know, Luke's father, or, you know, was his apprentice, and blah, blah, blah. And so you can kind of jump into two and be like, oh, okay, cool. There's Obi-Wan and there's Anakin. Awesome. Got it. You know, like, you don't really, there's really nothing, like, the only thing you really told, I mean, really, in episode one, there's nothing of importance that carries over. Like, I guess you're introduced to some characters, but it's not like there are any revelations or anything like that that you would need to know. Except for how midichlorians work, which is whatever.
Which ruins the Force, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. They are microscopic organisms.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm wrong in this. I also think this ruins the Force. Not necessarily in that, but you realize how, like, you watch the, you know, 4 and 5, and the same will go to 6 when we see it in a few weeks. The lightsabers and the whole Jedi thing is such a small part of the movie. Like, lightsabers don't come here, like, every fight. It's like, okay, let's bring out all lightsabers. And it's like, after a while, they're not special. They're just, like, drawing a gun.
I mean, I can kind of understand it, though, in the prequels, because the Jedi Order was still a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 4 and 5 and 6, there's, like, I mean, there's no Jedi left. Like, there's Luke, who is, you know, training to be a Jedi, and Obi-Wan, who dies in 4, so it's, you know, I can kind of understand it. What I don't understand is why their fighting technique is so much better way back in the day than it is in the new movies, or in the old new movies.
Well, I mean, Obi-Wan is ancient, and Luke is learning.
Right, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And there's some badass fight scenes in 4 and 5, and even 6, so...
It's, yeah, Luke with had some acrobatics. Not
for
as
sure.
Crazy as, like, Darth Maul, who the actor did all his own stunts for that, which
is
pretty crazy.
Ray Park. Ray Park is incredible.
Ray Park.
Yeah, he also played Toad in the X-Men movie. So he did all those flips and stuff. Yeah. And unfortunately, they cut a lot of his, I guess because he had a bunch of other lines, and they just cut a bunch of his stuff from the film, which sucks, because he's one of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah,
but I think part of that is the fact that he's so mysterious. You don't really see him talk or do much.
Yeah. It's that Boba Fett thing, where it's like you only see him a couple of times, and then you're like, man, who is that guy? He looked badass. You know?
Yeah, but
I think maybe that's what they're for.
Even so, he only had, like, two or three lines that I can recall right now.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I think that it would have been such a better movie if they had just taken, like, maybe 5 lines from Jar Jar and replaced that screen time with 5 lines for Darth Maul. And
oh my
I
God,
think we
yes.
would have gotten a better movie.
Definitely. Oh, you know what's funny? Here's a fun exercise. I don't know if you've ever seen on like YouTube. There's this guy or this channel, Red Letter Media, and he has these long, long video series breaking down like the Star Wars movies. And one of the things he does is he asks several people to describe any of the characters in Episode One without you know describing like their appearance or anything like that or what they do, like describe their personalities. How would you describe them? Like you know Queen Amidala. How would you describe her?
Boring.
Like what is her personality?
She doesn't have one.
She has a lot of right. costumes.
Yeah, you can describe what she looks like and what her job is and what she does.
Are we talking about the actual queen or the queen?
Right. But then, so here's the thing. Like,
now I'm confused.
Describe Luke Skywalker. Okay, yeah, you can definitely describe Luke Skywalker. He's, you know, he's
head
you know,
strong, you know, but passionate.
Yeah, headstrong. Right, he has all these, you can describe his ambitions and things like that, you know. But describe Qui-Gon Jinn's personality.
His personality is ancient master who doesn't reveal anything.
Yeah, that's what I say. I feel like he could be compared to Obi-Wan in the original movie in that he's kind of that mentor, that wise mentor figure.
Yeah. But it's just like the characters
in the other prequel films, especially
Episode One, are just... Yeah. I'm saying they're not... people, they're just like vessels for dialogue and exposition.
That's a good point.
They're like cardboard cutouts. So they may as well be wearing sandwich boards.
Dialogue and exposition are their forte. Like the Jedi Council.
Oh my god,
yeah. What were they there for besides to just be like, yeah, Anakin's too old, but we tested him anyway because we're kind of assholes.
Yeah. Hey, so how about what do we like about this movie?
Well, I have to say that
the fights are really cool.
Yeah, as a kid,
the fight.
Yeah, as a kid, I have to say my two favorite. Well, let's rewind. As a kid, I really liked this movie because I was still like, I don't know, like it came out in 99, right?
Yeah,
I was like 8 at the most. When this movie came out. So, of course, I loved this movie. It was only down the line that I was, like, actually questioning what was going on, being like, hey,
sure.
It's kind of racist. But my favorite parts... my favorite parts of this movie were the beginning, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan drew out their lightsabers and fought the battle droids the first time. I thought that was just an epic display. And then the very end, when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are fighting Darth Maul, and it's 2 Jedi versus 1 Sith, but 4 lightsaber blades total.
That was dope,
it was just awe-inspiring.
Right. Yeah, I don't necessarily appreciate the scenes when they're fighting the robots, because they make the... what are they? They're not robots. They're...
battle droids.
Battle droids, yeah, battle droids. They make the battle droids seem incompetent, and which is ridiculous because they're freaking droids, okay? They compute. They don't. Huh? What? How'd you trick me? Like what? That's so stupid. Like this, like the scene when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan are like walking the queen and her guard like through the castle area, and then they walk up to this group of droids, and he's like, and Qui-Gon's like, oh, I'm just taking the queen out of here. And they're like. Oh, okay. Hey, wait a minute. It's like, what?
Wait a second. Yeah, you almost killed the past one.
Yeah, a droid would not fall for that. Like, they would just be like, they wouldn't even say it. They would immediately start shooting. Because they would just be like, oh, there's the enemy. It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just another attempt of, like, implementing comedy, which, was there even any comedy in, like, really in the original trilogy? Like, I guess maybe, but
yeah,
there was, like...
I mean, it was more them playing off of each other, you know, Han and Leia's dynamic.
Yeah, like there was their witty banter. But like,
I mean, that's
this...
kind of what you said our C-3PO was.
Yeah, the comic relief. But like, even all like any of the jokes in the original trilogy, there weren't even jokes. There was banter that was witty, but in this movie, like, there are straight up poop jokes. in this movie. Like,
there
what?
There are straight-up poop jokes.
Like, oh. How are you going to have poop jokes in a Star Wars movie? What are we doing?
Well, like I mean, when I was 8, it was funny. Now,
yeah, I think this is a problem. Not necessarily a problem, but I mean, Star Wars is a family franchise, and I think this one was aiming squarely at kids.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not necessarily a problem, but there's a way to do it where Pixar's already good at this, where you can make a movie that's aimed at kids, but still make it enjoyable and engrossing enough for everybody to enjoy. Where this is like squarely aimed at, like, this is juvenile humor, and juvenile, like you said, the robots are comic relief when they should be a threat.
Yeah, the robots are the robots with computer brains are bumbling idiots, which doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had to throw that in there. I'm like, they have computer processing brains, and yet they're like, oh, but what? How did that happen? Ridiculous. Yeah, that upsets
me. I think I know why they did that. They wanted to make a force of the enemy, like the enemy's army, somehow like dumber than stormtroopers.
Which I think is what they... Because you do have to transition to stormtroopers, but that's the whole... I was going to say, that's a big part of the next movie. See, again, this is one of the reasons why this movie's kind of useless, because a lot of the stuff that they need to introduce really comes up in the second one. This is kind of like, this should be the start of a movie, probably condensed to like half an hour, and then that other, like, the, you know, like, our droids aren't working, so we need to create this clone army and the host. Like, this is so politically driven. The whole stuff at the council, which again is another subplot that just kind of seeps in and out every like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And none of it fails, but it's also one of those weird prequels. And, you know, prequels have this problem where it's like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if. And it's like, oh, Anakin also had R2-D2 and C-3PO, and it's like, why?
Yeah. I don't know. One of the major things to consider about this movie is that, like, when this movie was written and directed and all that stuff, George Lucas was, I mean, he wrote and directed the film. And if you watch, there's a lot of, like, documentaries and things like that about the making of the film. And you'll notice that, I mean, he pretty much had sole control over everything that went into this film. And no one was there to second guess him or to say, hey, maybe don't do this. Let's try this instead. Like, he was the dictator of this film. And
what are you going to say no to George Lucas for? He made the original three,
right.
Even if
but
that's
it,
half
but
true.
But even in the original three, like, he didn't direct them all. He had other, you know, he had studios and other people telling him, you know, small changes to make and things like that. So... what I'm saying is, like, absolute power is not always the best way to go.
Oh, no, it's absolutely the worst way to go, especially when it comes to a movie. Like, you don't necessarily want 50 different people telling you what to do and not to do in your movie, but...
There should definitely be people there to keep you in check.
Yeah, there should be somebody like, okay, this is stupid, don't do this, we can't afford to do that. And I think this is... And this was a... This wasn't just a Star Wars problem, this was a problem of the late 90s, where CG kind of became this thing, so everybody's like, let's just throw a bunch of CG at the screen because it's going to look really cool, we can do stuff we haven't done before, and nobody knew how to rein it in. Because if you think about it, in this little stretch of time, like from 95 after Toy Story to around early 2000s, you had... Batman and Robin, which has a ton of terrible CG. You have this, and you have Die Another Day, which has that terrible CG tsunami scene. And it's all these action movies where, like, we're going to do these crazy stunts. And it's like, yes, you're up in the ante, but none of it looks realistic. Because this movie, and I saw this for the first time, I think, in 2011 or so. So, after all the other, I've seen the other movies. It's the most data-driven movie of the entire franchise.
Yeah, CG is pretty rough. Real quick, I was just looking up George Lucas's filmography. Prior to this movie, do you know the last movie he directed?
What?
A New Hope.
Hey, he didn't direct Return of the Jedi?
Nope. The only one, he directed A New Hope, and then nothing until this movie. So, what is that?
Wait, he didn't direct the Indiana Jones ones either? He just wrote them?
I thought that was Steven Spielberg.
Yep. Yep, he only...
He just...
Yeah.
So basically, he went 22 years without directing anything, and then directed these three movies, the original trilogy, or the, I'm sorry, the prequel trilogy.
Well, that certainly shows.
Yeah, so maybe he was a little rusty?
He was clearly a guy who should have been told no on a bunch of occasions for episode one, definitely.
Yeah, but right. Again, what are you going to tell him no for? I mean, it's this franchise that, I mean, honestly, on paper, I assume the studio's really open some of his ideas. Oh, we're going to have this Jar Jar Binks who's a character for the kids to go make a bunch of toys around. He'll have a catchphrase, Misa.
God damn it. Misa. Every time he says it, I just want to punch him in the face.
Oh, don't take a drink for a diet talking that much.
Yeah.
Okay, since we're all over the face, another thing that was bothering me that drove me absolutely up the wall is that some people would say the Naboo, and some people would say Naboo, and I couldn't understand why.
Wait, they would say the Naboo?
Yeah.
The people, are you talking about the people of Naboo?
No, they would, because when they talk about Naboo, some of them would say the Naboo, we're going to the Naboo, you need to head to the Naboo.
Who would say that?
Exactly. I'm like, the Naboo's a planet. So why are they saying...
Was it Jar Jar?
No, it wasn't Jar Jar.
Are you sure it wasn't the Gungans? Because the Gungans say, like, the Naboo, think that they're so smart. They say stuff like that, but that's...
Or maybe they meant the Naboo system, because they do refer to it as a system in the film.
That's what I was confused about, because I thought it was... Is it a system or a planet? I thought it was a planet.
It's a planet, but George Lucas is an idiot, so it's a system, too.
It's a planet, it's a system, and the people also are referred to as the Naboo, rather than, like, I think it sounds better than the Nabooians, which sounds like, I don't even, doesn't sound like words, it's just a lot of vowels, so, I think calling them the Naboo is a little better than the Nabooians. But also, I think they could have come up with a better name altogether. So there's that.
The Nabuyaka. The Naboom Shakalaka.
I can't even think of anything else to call the Naboo. So.
Okay. Well, let's get back to the movie, because at this point, I think we got them off. They got off the planet. I mean, they got off this trade ship, and their ship...
That's the only progress we've made?
Pretty God much. Damn it. I mean, we've kind of jumped...
We've got a speed cast, then.
we're moving about as slow as the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the next part of the movie is pretty much one extended scene, because they end on Jar Jar's planet, they rescue him, they take him back.
And then on the Naboo.
They take him back... They try to get their ship and it gets damaged, so they end on Tatooine, and this is when they meet Anakin. And they
Well, you skipped. I mean, you know, where the very, very important scene where they have to go through the planet core, which apparently is made of water, because that's how planets work.
I mean, to be fair, you don't know. It's actually, I wouldn't mind that, because it's
No, I do know how physics works, and I do know that the core of a planet cannot be water. It has to be dense in order to keep the planet together.
The gravitational field requires the core to be dense. And while water is denser than the air of the surface, it's not denser than the rock.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the person.
Well, I mean,
but you do also mean the person.
But I do also mean the person.
But yes, they underwater and they get chased by the little fish thing and
Can we talk about how they had two fish eating us fake outs and that's just one too many?
Yeah. Oh, and Qui-Gon did the Vulcan nerve pinch.
Yeah. He did the Vulcan nerve pinch.
I was like, wait a minute, what movie am I watching?
The movie doesn't even know what the movie is.
Yep.
Yes, and that leads into our scene on Tatooine, where it turns into this whole thing about the slave trade and pod racing. It feels like a completely different movie. This whole subplot is really kind of depressing, because even the end's kind of depressing, because Anakin's free, but his mom's still a slave.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Qui-Gon could totally have just bullied Watto into taking her. You know, He totally could have.
Or how about at any time ever in the future come back to purchase her freedom because his best friend is a queen of a planet.
Like, there's for that sure, too.
Like years go by before we ever hear from his mother again, and it's like, for real? You didn't consider to maybe be like, hey, do you guys mind, like, you know, going and freeing my mom, like, just toss Watto a couple bucks so that she doesn't have to be a slave for the rest of her life?
Okay, and I know this is probably a bit different when they get older, but it's really weird that the Queen and Anakin are kind of, you know, they end up together, but you meet them, she's 14, 15, and he's 9?
14, yeah. And 9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, it just
that's
seems
not that
really
bad. That's not.
It's not bad when you get older. When if you're 30 and 25 is whatever.
That's what I'm saying. The next time they meet, he's like what, 18, and so she's 24 or something like that.
So
yeah,
we'll get to that with the Clone War. But yes,
look, man, I got some stories from when I was 18 that I could tell you that
you
put Anakin to shame.
Your 9-year-old babysitter.
What? Hey, look, man. That was a one-time thing. I'm saying.
What?
I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, where were we?
We were going to talk about pod racing and then realize that it was kind of dumb, so we were going to skip it.
Yeah.
Important to talk about pod racing because apparently I guess they do have a problem letting a minor do it. But, yeah. Really, really, I don't get the purpose of the scene in the movie. Like, it just seemed like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we could do something with the speeders from episode 6?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, it's wacky races.
Yeah, that was just to sell toys and video games, it seems. And then I guess, but I guess for the sake of the story, it was there to show that Anakin has the Force, you know, he's strong with the Force, and that he has the ability to kind of like, what's the word when you can see things before they happen?
Premonition?
Yeah, something like that.
Foresight?
Yeah, he has foresight. Whatever, he can see things before they happen. That's why he's able to drive the pod racer when no other human is able to do so. So I guess that scene is to show his abilities, I guess, kind of, sort of.
Well, it doesn't really show his abilities, because while I'm watching him pod race, I'm like, I could do that.
He's not very good.
Yeah, it's not like they have to, like, navigate, like, through a gravitational field.
Yeah,
you know?
I was also going to say, like, if the purpose
not like the castle run.
The purpose of that was to tell to show us, then they shouldn't have Liam Neeson literally shouting out, oh, the Force is very strong with him.
Yeah, and then measuring his midichlorians and saying that no one has a... Yeah, it's like, okay, man, we got it. He's got the Force. Cool. Let's move along.
And then you find out that the Jedi Councils are a bunch of dicks because they don't want to train him. So...
Well, no, because they realize he's a freaking psychopath who's going to murder younglings at some point. They're like, you know, cloudy this child's future is, and he has fear, and fear leads to, you know, mass murder or whatever. So it's like
only if you're a Jedi.
Yeah, so like they were able to foretell like something's not right with the situation, so maybe we shouldn't train this kid.
Yeah, but I mean it can go either way, because if you have somebody who's untrained with that much power, you can end up with a lot worse.
I don't know about that. Somebody has to train him how to use that power, you know what I mean? Like,
but the thing is, the fact that they had already, you know, they had already discovered him, they knew that he was very Force sensitive and possibly the child of the Force itself.
Oh, yeah, the Joe Jesus thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, so hold on. If he's
Sidious
Jesus...
Sidious would have found him.
Well, Sidious probably is the reason why he was born. Like, if you recall...
Plagueis.
Yes, however, Sidious killed Plagueis. If you recall... Okay, so this... And this happens later on, not really... This theory becomes viable later on in the series, because Sidious talks about, you know, there was once a Jedi master who had the ability to create life, and that his disciple learned his abilities and killed him, kind of hinting that Sidious was the disciple of Plagueis, who then took that ability And then, of course, you have Anakin, whose mother says that there was no father, and that he was just born with the Force, and that he had the highest midichlorian count of anyone ever. So, kind of, you know, and then you have the way that Sidious treated Anakin, kind of like a father figure. So there's definitely a plausibility that he used the abilities that he learned from Plagueis to impregnate Shmi with Anakin, so that he could then later bring him under his wing as his disciple. Boom.
It's plausible, but I heard the theory that with Plagueis' experiments trying to create life, the Force kind of did it. It's weird, and it sounds like more mystical, so I like it. That the Force, in response to him trying to create life, just did it itself, sort of. And I know I'm simplifying it a lot, so it sounds kind of dumb, but that's one of the theories that I heard.
Right. What's funny is that either of them at any point could have just gone and banged some chick and create life. Like, it's not that hard. I can do it at any time.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, no. But anyways, we got way off track there. So
skipping this hour-long sidestep, the subplot. There's really nothing to talk about. He builds a ship. It works. He wins. He's free. His mom's still safe. At this whole point, Obi-Wan, I guess, is doing nothing. He's literally just sitting on a ship.
He's a major side character.
Which is really weird, since he becomes a major character in the next two films. But they have nothing for him to do here.
Yeah.
No.
He literally just sits in the ship and at one point just yells at everyone and then just kind of sits in a room again.
Yeah. So, whatever. So they get back to the ship. And as they do,
Darth Maul
appears. And there's like a small little fight scene where Darth Maul only uses one side of his lightsaber. And
because
kind of like, just because, yeah, whatever. And then kind of like duels with Qui-Gon, and then Qui-Gon jumps onto the ship as it takes off, and that's pretty much it. It was an alright scene. There wasn't really much of a fight, but I guess kind of the dismount of the motorcycle that Darth Maul did, that was pretty dope, where he just like jumps off of it as it's going full speed.
Yeah, that was cool.
So there was some cool stuff there, but
we're back to the political side plot.
Oh God.
It literally takes us to a Senate meeting.
We missed a point. Were they kidnapped before? They were kidnapped before this, right?
Wait, who was kidnapped?
Were they not kidnapped? I thought they were being taken somewhere. Or am I thinking of something else? This movie all kind of throws together.
Are you thinking of Good Burger?
I'm not thinking of Good Burger.
Oh, okay. I don't.
Tony's thing now, okay? He just picked one random movie.
One random movie. It was going to either be Good Burger or The Lake House. With Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
Wait, how do you say Sandra Bullock's last name?
Bullock.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
What? How do you think I said it?
That's how you say it. It's weird because that's not how most people say it.
How do most people say it?
Moving on. We'll talk about this off air.
Where were we?
Yeah, okay.
Lake
so
House.
They weren't
okay,
kidnapped
so
yet. They weren't kidnapped.
There's a mailbox that travels through time. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
They weren't kidnapped yet. What happens is they go to Coruscant, and the Queen basically just gets the Supreme Chancellor fired for no reason. And
a vote of no confidence.
Yeah. Poor Chancellor Valorum. He was trying to do the right thing. And then Padme's like, you're not doing it fast enough. And then he gets ousted. And then it takes even longer to get anything done because he just had to make a new leader, which takes longer than any process could possibly.
She doesn't make the best decisions in this movie. Actually, I think that's a big part of the entire prequel trilogy. It's like it's one of those things where you have to make all the heroes stupid to make the villain impressive. Because he plays everybody like a fiddle, even though he plays a super long game with this because he waits like 20 years.
Very true. He does play for sure. But then after they leave Coruscant, they come up with the brilliant idea of going back to Naboo for reasons. And
because she has to be with her people.
Yeah, because she has to die with her people, because that makes sense. Like, you know, like a captain going down with his ship, even though he's not on the ship.
Do you realize that the vast majority of this film, Queen Amidala.
There we go.
Yes, she, do you realize for the vast majority of the film, she's played by Keira Knightley?
What do you mean?
Keira Knightley is the actress who plays the queen for a large portion of the film.
Wait, like the real Keira Knightley? Or
yeah, just... No, 100%. Keira Knightley is the actress who plays the decoy of Queen Amidala, who acts in the place of the queen for the majority of the film.
Huh.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah. I didn't know that, and I never really cared enough to kind of look into that.
Yeah, it's Keira Knightley. She's the one who played the queen until she got blowed up.
Yeah, I remember her getting blowed up now. But yeah. I mean, I should have guessed, or I could have guessed, because Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman look pretty similar.
Sure.
But I didn't actually think that it was her. Wow.
Real quick, who's hotter?
Ooh.
Keira Knightley. And a better actress.
Oh!
Well, I think I agree.
Whoa, that's strong.
Actress.
That's a strong... Well, I don't know. I think I
really, really have grown to hate Natalie Portman because of the Thor movies.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, when Natalie Portman was a kid, she was a phenomenal actress.
But those Thor movies have really set...
It's like, could you imagine if Keira Knightley was... Jane Foster instead of Natalie Portman, who was basically reprising her role as useless character from Star Wars for those movies.
And if you want to hear more about our hatred of Thor, check out the Marvel Cinecast for Thor and Thor 2 to Dark World.
Keira Knightley just seems like you would have to watch your back because she might attack you at any time. And I like that in a woman. I like a woman who might stab me at any point throughout the day when I'm not paying attention.
You gotta keep the romance alive somehow.
Exactly.
Be it murder.
But anyway, after they get back to Naboo, very shortly, they convince the Gungans to basically get themselves almost entirely murdered as a species.
Well, what's funny is they have to convince the Gungans, whereas earlier in the film, Qui-Gon just used his mind powers to control them into doing whatever he wants them to do. But now they're like, I guess because reasons, they can't just do that again?
Well, they probably can't do it all at once for a prolonged period of time. Like, I imagine that he would have to fight, and you can't have... Like, I imagine Jedi mind control doesn't last forever. It never seems to have been a long action.
Yeah, which
seems to be a very instantaneous thing.
Which sucks for the guy who wanted to sell Obi-Wan death sticks, because I don't think he rethought his life then.
Yeah. Well, man, how many terrible things would you do if you had Jedi mind control? Good God, I would be a horrible, horrible person.
There are a lot of weak-minded people out there.
Yeah. I'd have a lot of fun, though.
I've never given you two that type of power.
Oh no! Don't give me that power.
I would be a Sith. I'll be honest.
Yeah, 100%. Not even a question.
But anyway, back to the movie.
Yeah. Sorry.
It must be like the sixth time we've said that. But so at this point, we transition to the scene when there's like six things going on at once. We have the battle with the Gungans. We have the Queen with her little security force. We have Anakin in space. And we have Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan fighting Darth Maul. So it's not six things, but it's four. And it's all happening at once.
And me falling asleep on the couch.
And waking up only when you hear lightsabers, right?
Yeah, when I hear that that song, crap, what's it called?
I know what it's called, too. I used to have this on my iPod when I had an iPod.
Crap, what is the name of that song that they play when they're fighting?
Duel of the Fates.
Yes, Duel of the Fates. That's badass.
That's one of the best parts. Like, you can say what you want about the movies, the prequels, but they still have some really great scores, in my opinion.
I guess it's a good thing. I was surprised at how they actually used the original theme. I guess Darth Vader theme wouldn't have made sense, but they don't even use the heroic march either.
Mm-hmm. They use fragments of Darth Vader's theme at times with Anakin. I don't know if they did it in the first film.
No, not in the first film, but definitely in the second and third.
Yeah, like there are times when when he's kind of like a little questionable, and you're like, I don't know about this kid. Then they'll insert fragments of that theme,
genocide against Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, when he mass murdered an entire village. But we'll get to that in the next film. But anyways,
that's when the movie starts to wrap up during this the scene.
Well, you missed the part where he dies.
Where who dies?
Who, Qui-Gon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that happens in the scene.
Yeah, he said that movie starts wrapping up. I'm like, you got to imagine the guy dies during this scene.
Yeah, and then Qui-Gon dies, which I'm like 60% sure he did on purpose.
It seems so weak how he died. He just got stabbed. Well, I guess Obi-Wan kind of went out pretty lame, too.
Obi-Wan went out pretty in a cool way because he pretty much gave into it. Like, he was like, he drops that awesome line of "Strike me down now, and I will become more powerful than you could possibly imagine." And then he just stands there all zen-like and disappears.
Can we talk about how that stab with the lightsaber killed Qui-Gon, but Darth Maul was literally cut in half and thrown into a bottomless pit and is apparently not dead?
Can we talk about how convenient it is that he gets stabbed and survives just long enough to submit a final request to Obi-Wan before dying? He survives the entire remainder of that fight and dies immediately after telling Obi-Wan what he needed to tell him.
Yeah,
but that's just
because,
movies. What can you do?
Because he knew that he had to die so that Obi-Wan could defeat Darth Maul and become a Jedi Knight so he could train Anakin, because reasons.
Anyway.
So he wanted to die because he discovered the secret to become one with the Force and ghosts and all that.
Is that what it is? I don't know if he became one with the Force.
He did.
No, because his body was left over. Like, they had to burn his body.
Well, they did have to burn his body, but he... Well, what happened was Qui-Gon learned how to communicate from the grave and all that, but that... I don't know if that was immediately or after. Because we hear Qui-Gon in episode 2 in Yoda's head when he's slaughtering the Tuskens. And I only found this out because one time I had captions on.
Oh. Yeah,
so
I guess
Qui-Gon's
we do hear his voice.
Anakin, no!
Interesting. Yeah, I guess that's true. Huh. Never thought of it that way. I thought it was just some weird dream-like sequence where I don't... I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think that Qui-Gon knew that he had to die at some point. In order for Anakin to be trained so that he could bring balance to the Force and all that,
true
theory stuff.
Okay. So, all right. So the final battle occurs on the Naboo. On the Naboo. It's a final battle between two equally stupid groups of people. The Gungans, who are all mentally challenged, and the robots, who are also mentally challenged for some reason, even though they're robots and they shouldn't be. So they're battling. The Anakin bumbles his way into some kind of fighter ship and blows up whatever the
mini Death Star.
I don't know. What is the thing he blew? Yeah, the little battle station or whatever.
Which
he thinks their battleship.
If, I mean, they give... Oh, Anakin's way too OP in this trilogy. How is a 9-year-old? I mean, yes, the ship was on autopilot, but still, he was able to outmaneuver them and fill up their ship. It's like, really, how bad are the adults in this world?
Yeah.
It's very...
I don't know.
Cause
you don't understand. He has a midichlorian count of over 20,000. Not even Master Yoda has that. God, I hate myself. Anyways.
Yeah.
Anyways. So then the movie Qui-Gon kills him, and Anakin does stuff, and Yoda makes Obi-Wan a Jedi Knight so he can train Anakin because they gave in to Qui-Gon's dying request for some reason. And then weird scene at the end with a parade and a giant
Yeah, they have that
orb.
Celebration type sequence like they had at the end of episode 4. So, whatever. Except in this sequence, they hand a glowy ball to the Gungan dude because reasons. Whatever.
Because peace! I guess. Because the Gungans and the Naboo were previously at war, apparently. Where they needed to have peace.
Well, they definitely weren't.
They were just
ignoring each other.
Yeah, the Gungans hated the Naboo because they thought they were smarter than them.
They think we're no smart.
And the Naboo were like, what are Gungans?
I think he said pretty much exactly that.
And Naboo just don't even care. It's like, yeah, sure, Gungans, I guess they're kind of people. And yeah, now they like each other.
Yeah.
Enough to make Jar Jar Binks one of the, like, under-senators. But that's later on.
Dude, did you know that, like, I think until, like, the early to mid-20th century, pygmies were kept in zoos? Did you know that? Isn't that trippy?
Pygmies?
I don't know why pygmies. They're, like, it's, like, an African group of people. They're, like, very small people. Like, they're very short. And for a long period of time, people didn't realize they were actually humans. And they kept them in zoos. I don't know why, but the Gungans kind of reminded me of that.
I was wondering where this tangent was going.
I was a little confused.
I don't know. The Gungans just reminded me of that for some reason.
we got there eventually. I was just wondering how we were getting where we were going.
So the lake house. No, I'm just kidding.
It's good burger. But yeah, I guess they kind of end on a heroic note, but kind of one of the things with this prequel trilogy that we'll find out with 2 and 3 as well, is because of where they have to go with episode 4, 5, and 6, like, ultimately the bad guys win every movie. Because, I mean, like, you know, Qui-Gon is dead. Then
Qui-Gon Jinn!
Whatever.
It's not
that difficult.
Palpatine becomes the Supreme Command Counselor, and we know that he eventually becomes the Emperor and all this other stuff. So it's a minor victory for the heroes. What do they accomplish? They get that one dude?
Darth Maul?
No. Well, I mean, they killed Darth Maul. But who was Padmite? Padme after. Wasn't there a ground force as well that was after that one dude?
New Gunray.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, they took him alive. And then
That's like the one thing that the heroes really get in the climax is they capture him.
But it doesn't even matter because in the next movie he's free and even more powerful with more droids than before. Might as well have just let him get away, because then there would have been an actual reason for Newt Gunray to be so powerful in episodes 2 and 3. But that's just me having, you know, actual thoughts about the directions of the movie, unlike some people. Lucas.
Nice.
Yeah. But... Yeah, overall, though, like I said, as a kid, I really liked this movie, but, and then I slowly started to hate it. as I grew older.
Dude, yeah, every time I watch this movie, I'm like, holy crap, I don't like this movie. Like, you know, the first time I watched it, likewise, as a kid, I was like, oh, this is fun. And you watch it a little later on, you're like, oh, it's all right. Now it's just like, Jesus, this is terrible. I do not like this movie at all.
I will say that while the bad parts keep getting worse, the good parts, like the lightsaber battles, just get a little bit better each time I watch them.
That might be the only good part, to be honest
with you.
I was
about to say, he said the good part, and I'm waiting for a second thing here.
The lightsaber battle, that's it. The lights. Anytime there's lightsabers... Yeah, that's about it.
My favorite part of the movie is that scene where they all sit around and talk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a great
every
one.
Part of the movie?
You mean like every 3 minutes? Yeah, you know, they all sit in a circle and talk, man. That's my favorite part.
They talk on a ship. They talk to holograms. They talk via devices. They talk in sheds. They talk while pod racing. Everybody just talk.
Yeah. It's like listening to a song that has way too many lyrics, and you're like, holy cow, can you guys just, like, you know, have a guitar solo or something? Like, I get that you're trying to get a point across, but
yeah,
I just want to enjoy some
music.
So check this. Ota Benga was a pygmy male who was kept in the Bronx Zoo in 1906 and eventually committed suicide at the age of 32.
Well, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
And that sums up how I feel about The Phantom Menace.
Well, before you sum up what you feel about The Phantom Menace, this is your part, Tony.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, yeah, when I asked you guys how you rate the film? How did this become my part? I just said it once, and now it's like my thing.
I think you also did it with MCU stuff.
Well, oh, that's right. I guess so. Wow. I need to
this
stop
is your thing.
Drinking so much. Okay, so... what would you guys rate Star Wars The Phantom Menace out of 5?
Ooh.
Let's hear it.
Earl,
and also,
like
I guess, if you want to sum up your thoughts on it, that might help as well.
I don't think it's this, but in context of the series, I have to go with the 1. I mean, this is the absolute bottom tier of the Star Wars franchise, as far as I can remember. And I don't hate the movie. I don't have enough affection for Star Wars to hate or love anything in the franchise, so I don't hate the movie.
That's
but
fair.
It commits the cardinal sin of any movie I watch in that it's absolutely boring. Like, I could forgive it for the dated CG. I could forgive it for the subplot with the pod racing if that was exciting. But nothing in this movie excites me. There's, like, nothing that keeps me going. And there's no real flow to this movie. Like, you know, like, the whole point of a movie is to kind of build to the climax, and then you fall. This movie's kind of, it starts high, it falls, it goes across, it falls some more, it pod races, then it's like, oh, right, there's stuff, other stuff we've been doing, it falls more because there's people talking. And then it kind of dips back up with the final fight. But that, by that point, you've invested 2 hours, and I assume you probably checked out at the hour 10 mark,
mm-hmm.
if you're like me. So yeah, I'm going to have to go with a 1. This is absolutely bottom barrel Star Wars. It's and you know, like I said before, when I was asking for suggestions, a lot of people said to skip this one. And honestly speaking, I would say the same thing, because there isn't anything in this one that you won't necessarily get in 2 and 3 later on.
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna have to agree with giving it a 1. And this is the I love Star Wars, in case you didn't already know that. And
what?
I will. Yeah, right? It's crazy. And looking, when I try to think of what happened in episode 1 after not having watched it for a while, I can, in my brain, make episode 1 a good movie by deleting things, rearranging things, and ignoring things. But because I know what they were trying to do, what messages they were trying to send, and what they're trying to build up for in episodes 2 and 3, they just don't do any of that. And like Earl said, it's just boring, except for any time that Darth Maul is fighting Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, which is for a combined, like, maybe 8 minutes of the movie. It's just, this entire movie can be skipped, in all honesty. That's why a lot of people, Earl, are telling you that, or told you that we should just skip this. Because there's a very popular way of watching these films, the machete cut, that just cuts out episode one entirely and goes 4, 5, 2, 3, 6. And that's, whenever I marathon Star Wars, that's usually the way I go. Unless for some reason I want to include episode one and then I'll watch it chronologically. Because it just doesn't offer anything to the series. The only thing that we get is we're introduced to Qui-Gon, who's a character who dies and isn't really mentioned after that, except at the end of episode three. And we're also introduced to Anakin as a kid, which doesn't matter because he's a kid and doesn't have, you know, opinions or anything. He's just a kid.
I was also going to say, he does not become a better character throughout this.
No, he becomes a worse character because every sentence he makes him that much worse. He's just annoying. And it's just, now as a 24-year-old adult watching this movie, I look at him and I'm like, there's no way that that kid could ever actually be Darth Vader. And that's the worst part of this movie, is that I look at Anakin and I'm like, I can't see him as Darth Vader in any way. He doesn't have any hint of just, you know, the little homicidal intrigue that Darth Vader has. He's just, you know, maybe if we hadn't seen Anakin as a kid this young, it wouldn't have been as bad. That's why I don't like watching this movie a lot. Because Darth Vader is my favorite character, and they ruined him, in my opinion.
Okay. So, well, if it makes you feel any better, the actor who played the child Anakin Skywalker later on became a drug addict felon, so there's that. Anyway.
So maybe he could have been Darth Vader. Maybe.
He could have been. You never know. Alright, so my final thoughts on the film are, this film is a waste of time and a poor, poor, poor representation of what Star Wars is all about. It's a children's movie, and it's not even a very good children's movie. There are tons and tons of other way better children's movies. Watch Toy Story, for God's sakes. You know, watch Good Burger. Watch The Lake House. No, don't watch The Lake House.
Watch Clone Wars, the animated series.
Oh, yeah, watch that.
Even that's better than this.
So the film itself is just not good. It's disjointed. It drags on. It doesn't hold up well over time. The characters are cardboard cutouts with no personality whatsoever and no real development. It's just not good. It's so not good that if you never watch it, you're doing all right. There's no reason to watch this movie at all. If you absolutely must watch this movie, I do highly recommend that you go online. You can go to YouTube and find the anti-cheese edit. That's probably the most bearable way to watch the film. They cut out, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, they cut out a ton of useless crap. They cut out a lot of Jar Jar. They changed several voices to make them more bearable. If you absolutely must watch it, watch that. But as far as the actual cut that I have on my Blu-ray, I'm going to give it a 1 out of 5. I mean, yeah, it's just not, it just don't waste
Which
your time.
Which is better than a 0, you know?
Yeah.
It shows some effort.
Well, because it is actually a film, so I can't really give it a 0. If it was like still images, I would probably be like, well, this isn't really even a movie.
Or if it was like a dictionary, it's like, how would you rate this movie? A 0?
If Star Wars The Phantom Menace was an empty water bottle, then I'd be like, okay, well, this isn't even a movie. This is just an empty water bottle that somebody put on my coffee table. This is a
but
zero.
Even then, the empty water bottle could be useful. Because you could
That's
fill
true.
It.
That is very but, true.
So on a water bottle scale, it'd be a 5.
There you go. That's a great point.
On the water bottle scale, Phantom Menace is a 5 out of 5. Easily. But not on the movie.
I don't know. I think I should probably start doing drugs. I think that might even me out a little bit.
So.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I don't know your life, so.
I don't know you. We'll join our would-be hero as he becomes a whiny brat teenager and a war breaks out in Star Wars Episode 2, The Clone Wars.
Attack of the Clones.
I know my Star Wars so well. I'm a Star Wars expert.
Star Wars Episode 2, clones fighting other people.
I'm so used to, I watch the TV show more. But yes, we'll watch Attack of the Clones, which, if this is alright, I mean...
Not to be confused with the animated series Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, which we'll discuss next week.
One of us will. I don't know if anybody's going to record that, but he'll be talking to himself about it.